Well, today is our last message in a series of messages asking Jesus to be our mentor and just going through his life as we see it in the book of Luke, leading into next Sunday's Palm Sunday, and then we have Good Friday, Easter Sunday coming. And this morning I want to talk to you about parables. Why are parables important? These are stories that Jesus told. They're not a description of a specific event necessarily, but truth-filled stories that help us understand more about God, more about ourselves, more about life and situations. It's kind of like, not exactly the same, but kind of like, how many of you know the story of the tortoise and the hare? Right? You know that? What's the whole idea there? Slow and steady wins the race, right? So there wasn't somebody watching a tortoise racing a hare. It's like, oh yes, okay, what's going on here? Let's write this down. No, we know that the moral or the idea behind that helps us learn about life. And so Jesus is telling particular stories that illustrate life and things that are going on, real earthy things and situations. And they're true to help us understand who God is, to help us understand ourselves, to maybe come at a different angle where if it's just sort of linear truth being hammered at us, we might not get it, but a story, well, that can explode in our minds. It can change us. And so in Luke chapter 15, we find some specific parables that Jesus tells. And the whole point of these parables is lostness, foundness, and the heart of God and what the Father is like. So please turn to Luke chapter 15 with me. And it's in your bulletin. Got it on your phone. Whatever it might be, please turn there. Go there. And we see in Luke chapter 15 that Jesus first starts with the parable of the lost sheep. And then he moves to the parable of the lost coin. And in verse 11 that we're going to focus on today, we're going to look at the parable of the lost son, the prodigal son. How many of you have heard the word prodigal before? Have you heard that word? Yeah. So you're familiar with this. I think this is one of those stories that transcends, it goes beyond Christianity because people understand the idea of prodigal. And so Jesus is telling a story to help us understand lostness, foundness, and what Father God is like. And so I want to ask you just to take a deep breath right now. Just take a deep breath. This is going to be parable time with Pastor Craig for a few moments this morning. I want to just read it. I'm going to make a few comments, but I want you just to use your imagination. I want you to immerse yourself in this with me. I know it's a little warm in here, and you can smell good baking out in the foyer, and you just want to get there and drink some good coffee and eat some good baked goods. But we want, before we go there, to hear from Jesus together. We want to come to the table together as well. So let me read this, and I want to just imagine this story, okay? Jesus is telling this story, a parable, to help us understand what people are like and what lostness is, foundness is, and what the Father is like. Verse 11, and he, Jesus, said, there was a man who had two sons. Okay, we can understand that. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of property that is coming to me. And he divided his property between them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had and took a journey into a far country. And there he squandered his property in reckless living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into his fields to feed pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. Pause there for a minute. This young man went to his dad and basically said, you're not dead yet, but I wish that you were. Give me my inheritance now. Slap in the face, right? Not only that, he goes and he squanders it right away. It doesn't last very long. He would have been well-to-do to have this kind of inheritance where his family would have had lots of money. His dad would have had lots to give him, and he wastes it really quickly. Not only that, for him to hire himself out, that would have been quite the humbling experience. Not only that, in Jewish culture, they weren't supposed to be pig farmers at all. Pigs were considered an unclean animal. Okay? And so for him to then work for a pig farmer and then go and serve the pigs, and eventually he ate the pods of the pigs, pig pods. This was the lowest of the low. This was the worst of the worst. Now, you and I, we probably don't understand that too much because we like bacon, right? How many of you like bacon? I love bacon. Culturally speaking, though, for this young man to be where he was, demand what he demanded, and then be ended up rock bottom eating pig pods in the pig pen was rock bottom. That's where this young man ends up. Look at verse 17. But when he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread? But I perish here with hunger. I will arise and go to my father and say to him." So here he's practicing a speech that he's going to share with his dad. "Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants." Verse 20. "And he arose and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off," I love this, picture it with me. "But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him." Can you picture that with me today? "And the son said to him, 'Father,'" so here's his rehearsed speech for his dad, "'I've sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son.'" Interruption. "But the father said to his servants, 'Bring quickly the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet.'" Friends, we have so many clothes. We have lots of jewelry. But in this culture, to be clothing this one that was gone would have cost the father something. A lot of people didn't have real shoes. And so it would be the master of the house that would have shoes. And so suddenly shoes were there. Now, we all probably have multiple pairs of shoes, but shoes has significance because the master of the house was giving his shoes for his prodigal son. Verse 23, "And bring the fattened calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate." The one job of this calf, he would have been set aside just to get nice and plump and juicy for the biggest party of the year, or years, depending on what was going on. That was the only job of this one animal. In this culture, that's why it was so important. But he said, "Kill it, let us eat and celebrate. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." And they began to celebrate. Now, physically, he wasn't dead. But in many ways, he may as well have been. Because he cut himself off. He said to his dad, "I wish you were dead. Give me my money. I'm out of here." Basically. But here he is again. He was lost and is found. And they began to celebrate. Now the scene moves. Verse 25. "Now his older son," so this is the second son, "was in the field. And as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing." Must have been some good old foot stomping going on, right? You know, you can hear music, but to hear dancing, that's pretty loud. "And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, 'Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has received him back safe and sound.'" Pay attention here. "But he was angry and refused to go in." Look at the father again here. "His father came out and entreated him. But he answered his father, 'Look, these many years I have served you and I never disobeyed your command. Yet you never gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came," pause there for a minute. He doesn't even call him his own brother, does he? "But when this son of yours came," you know, I do that sometimes to my wife when my daughter or my son do something that I'm not too happy with. "Oh, your daughter, look what she did." You ever do that? "Oh, that's definitely your son when he said that. Definitely your kid." And often we do that really playfully. This was not playful. This was venomous. This was cut off, hard. He couldn't even acknowledge that it was his brother. "This son of yours," and he's keeping a list of what this guy's doing, "who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed a fattened calf for him." It doesn't make sense. "And he said to him, 'Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. It was fitting to celebrate and be glad, for this your brother was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found.'" This is God's word. Who do you identify with most in this story? Maybe the younger brother. You can understand that the part of your story is to just live in license or cut yourself off and just do life without God, do life without authority, whatever it might be, just to cut off and run away, to do things your own way, just squander it all. Maybe you feel like that today, that you've squandered it all. You've wasted all kinds of things. You've wasted time, money, energy, people, just burned through them. There's two people I want you to consider. I want you to consider the younger brother, but I also want you to see the older brother here. Do you identify with him at all? Is there a hardness, a severity, a losing sight of what matters most that happens in your own heart? See, the parable is called the story of the prodigal son, but it's really important for us to see both brothers in this story. And I think that often when we're around Christianity, we're around the church, we're around the Bible, we're around religious things, and these things can become really commonplace, we become, without really knowing it, we become a lot like the older brother. But what's the problem with that? You see, the story is called the prodigal son. And the older brother is there, but it's really the central figure is the father. Friends, the prodigal lost sight of the father, and the older brother lost sight of the father, even though he lived in this house. He worked in his fields. The inheritance was all his. It was right there in front of him, and he missed it. Do you identify with that at all today? See, there's a third way. There's the father's way that we find in the story. And although it's titled Prodigal Son, the best way to see this parable is it's all about the father. It's all about lostness and foundness in the heart of the father. Do you see that today? Do you see that he is the one generously, even though his son slapped him in the face and said, "Give me, I wish you were dead, just give me my inheritance," and he did it anyway? And then interrupting this younger brother's speech of repentance, he interrupts his speech and says, "Lavish love on this guy. Bring the shoes, bring the ring, bring the robe, kill the calf, let's celebrate." Friends, if you want to know what Father God is like, this is a story for you to see what Father God is like. He's eager and running and compassionate and moved by his children. This is the Father's way. Not only that, the prodigal, but notice the older brothers outside, the party's going on. It's his shoes, it's his robe, it's his ring. The father's stuff is all being used up. The servants aren't working, they're partying. They're eating, they're drinking, they're celebrating. And he's the one, it's his party, he's the host, and he goes outside to the older brother and he pleads with him and entreats him and urges him to reorient himself on the heart of the Father. That's the Father's way. Do you see the Father's way today? Who do you identify with most? And then I want to urge all of us to look to the Father together today. Do you see his unstoppable running? His heart is moved with compassion and he runs to the prodigal son. It's his party, but he runs outside to urge his older son. The movement is found in the Father's heart. And we see lavish love. Lavish love. He gives the inheritance and it's squandered. And then he gives the shoes and the ring and the robe. He kills the fattened calf. It would have cost him a lot of money to fill that calf up and fatten it up. It would have cost a lot of money because if he had a big household to have that party. And he wants the younger son and the older son to come in and celebrate his lavish love. I'm generous. I am kind. I'm overflowing and abounding in love. Let's kill that calf. Let's barbecue that sucker and let's celebrate. This is what the Father is like. And this is what the Father's gospel is. The good news of the gospel is what we see here in the way of the Father. And maybe you identify with the prodigal today, the younger brother. And friends, part of the gospel says that we should, when we blow his inheritance and we squander it in all kinds of ways, when we waste our lives, we should be left to our own devices forever. And maybe we're in the Father's house, but we become hard and severe and exacting, and we miss the heart of the Father, and he should leave us in our hardness. He should leave us in our license, and he should leave us in our hardness. That's what the gospel says. He should do that. But he does not do that. He runs to the prodigal, and he urges the hard older brother. This is the gospel. He's got his household. He's got his fattened calves and his shoes and his rings and his robes. He's good to go. He doesn't need that guy and he doesn't need that guy. But he wants them in on this reality with him to celebrate his household, to make a way for them to know him and celebrate him and adore him and enjoy him and enjoy these things together. He should leave us, but he does not. That's the gospel. And Jesus Christ proves that. He is the unstoppable running to real human beings. Thousands of years before this moment, Jesus the Christ died on a cross. And nothing could stop that. Even though all hell was breaking loose and people and powers were trying to stop him, he went to a cross and he died and he rose again. And his life pierced the darkness, it defeated death and conquered sin. The great powers that hold us back, he defeated completely. It's an unstoppable running. And in that death, lavishness was opened up to us. That this little parable that talks about the richness of the Father's home is just a little taste of what it's like to know Jesus Christ, to know the Father forever, to have his Holy Spirit in us. That it's a lavish sacrifice that you can actually stake your whole life from now and into forever on the life of Jesus the Christ. You can stake everything on him absolutely everything. And when we sing songs like Christ is enough, it's true, it's true, it's true. And it's a lavish love. Changed minds, changed hearts, changed lives, changed directions, redeemed, restored, now and forever. The way is open, the feast is lavish. And we're just getting to know it now. That's the gospel of Jesus. Why are parables important? They're meant to open our eyes, to help us to see what the Father's like, to maybe identify with the younger brother or the older brother, and to realize that there is a third way and it's the best way. Maybe today you don't quite understand what God is like. This is meant to open your eyes, just this little story, these few verses here in Luke chapter 15, to help you understand what the Father is like. If you're having trouble understanding what God the Father is like, and you've got some ideas from your past, or you've got some ideas from a family member, or whatever it might be, go to the Scriptures. Go to the Word of God and let it open your eyes and correct your vision. Because so quickly, so easily, it can be skewed and cracked and broken, and stuff can get on it. But we need our eyes opened, and the Scriptures are meant to push that away so that we can actually see what the Father is like. What is God like? He's like this Father in this story, and so much more. And then when we realize that, we're meant to admit that we're off somehow, that maybe we're more like the younger brother, or maybe we're more like the older brother. And you know what, Jesus? I'm not actually following in the way of the Father. We're meant to go to the Word, hear the story, and then actually admit to God that we're off somehow. We need to actually do that, because He knows. He knows we're off. But there's this relationship thing that goes on, that God desires for us to actually admit it to Him. That's part of what it means that He's a holy God who wants relationship with us. He wants us to admit that we're off somehow. And also to receive. To actually receive. Receive the lavish love of God. Receive the grace of the Father. Receive a new identity from the Father because of His grace. And we are so self-sufficient that it's really hard for us to receive anything that's unmerited by ourselves. But we don't hear much from the younger brother, do we? After he's got the robe and the ring and the shoes and the party, he's just soaking that all in. Friends, can you receive the lavish love of the Father today? Can you enjoy that? Realize, I didn't do anything to deserve this. It's all grace. It's all grace. We're going to enjoy communion together this morning. And I want to invite those who are helping to serve communion to come and have a seat here in the front row. Part of the way we receive is what we're physically going to do right here. We just, our eyes are open. We admit where we're off somehow, and then we receive. Yes, this is just a little bit of bread and a little cup of juice, but it's a symbol of a great reality. And you can confess your sin. You can confess if your older brother, younger brother, whatever it might be. You can admit those things and just say, Father, I admit I've been off of your way. Forgive me. I want to walk in your way. And then receive, as you take, you know, little bits of bread and juice into your body, the great grace of God through the power of the Holy Spirit going deep into your soul today. So let's just take a moment of quiet and admission, and then we're going to receive this together. Let's pray. Father God, I admit today that sometimes I'm like the younger brother, just running off, doing my own thing. And other times, Lord, I'm like the older brother, hard and severe, and losing sight of you. God, you know our hearts today. You know our lives. You know where we're at. And we just want to confess our sin and our hardness or our whatever it might be, Jesus. We just admit that to you right now. We confess that to you. We open our hearts to you. We give that over to you. And we want to receive the way of the Father, the lavish love of Jesus, the promise of God, your eagerness to meet with us now, Jesus. I thank you, Father, that you delight to meet with us. And God, as we just offer this sin to you and this any ways we're off, Lord, we offer that to you. And now, this grace of redeeming and restoring, you pour in now. And so I welcome you to do that in each and every person here. In Jesus' name, amen. If you need a gluten-free option, Dylan is at the back there. You could slip your hand up and he'll find you and pass that to you. And we're just going to pass the bread out now. To further reinforce the pursuit that the Father makes. The Son of God was broken so that we might know him now and forever. Let's eat together. Jesus, I thank you that as this grain was crushed so that we might feed and have life, we feed and have life in you because of your broken body. Thank you. We praise you and we adore you and we take this in and we welcome your grace to fully flood our souls in Jesus' name. Amen.